Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. My co-host, Dr. Les Olala, is not with us today. He is away on a ministry venture. But we're here with two guests that I want to take time to introduce to you, the listener, and I know that we have an exciting show ahead of us. Bob, you have been on the program with us before, right? Bob Roberts?
Yes, it's great to be back.
And Bob, you are the president and the director and the founder and all things to a program called Kids for Truth.
That's right. And we're based out of Kansas City, Missouri, and we're a ministry all about teaching boys and girls the central Christian doctrine.
Now, how do you do that?
We do it primarily through a curriculum that we deliver through local churches called the Kids for Truth Clubs, where boys and girls will learn 120 questions and answers and supporting Bible texts. It's similar to catechism. And I know that word might throw some of your listeners for a loop. They might think, what are you trying to espouse here, Bob? When I hear the word catechism, I think of, you know, buildings with really tall ceilings and stained glass windows and guys in robes waving smoke bombs. But a catechism is simply
a tool.
It's instruction in the fundamentals, usually through the question and answer method, and it has been a great weapon.
You have a website.
Oh, God. Yes.
What's your website?
Kidsfortruth.com, www.kids4truth.com.
So www.kids, then the number 4, and then truth.com.
That's right.
Well, I know many of our listeners enjoyed, and you were on the broadcast with us some time ago, and I know we're looking forward to hearing from you and catching up with you here in the very near future. And then our other guest today is someone that I'm very excited to introduce to all of our listeners, and that is Bill Jones. Bill, you were for many years the pastor at Brookside Baptist Church. And I think you were the first full-time pastor at Brookside. Is that right?
Yes, that is, Sam. And what a joy just to be seated here with you, who's the current pastor here at Brookside Baptist Church, and to see how the Lord has blessed that ministry through the years.
Well, you and others that follow you laid a tremendous foundation, and I kind of feel like I inherited something that really you and others built, but we are very thankful that you're here. Bill, when were you the pastor at Brookside?
Oh, Sam, I should have reviewed that before I came in here, I guess. It was in the 80s.
And you were there for 5 years, is that right?
There for 4 years.
4 years.
Yes.
Now, what did you do after that?
I left Milwaukee and went back to Greenville, South Carolina, to return to my graduate studies. And we were there for several years. And while there in Greenville, the Lord opened up an opportunity for us to be in Western North Carolina at a small church in Hendersonville. And so we went up the mountain to Hendersonville and stayed there pastoring for nearly 10 years.
And then the Lord opened a tremendous door for you in the city of New York.
Yes, while pastoring there in Hendersonville, we had the opportunity to visit New York, made a mission trip to New York. And after being there just a few hours, I began to realize what a mission field New York City was. And then that began just a process in my own life and to the point where the Lord moved me from Western North Carolina to New York City.
And now you're there with a ministry called New York Gospel Mission.
Yes, a New York Gospel Mission to the Jews, one of the oldest outreach missions in New York City. It started in 1895 by a Jewish man married to a Gentile lady, and he preached the gospel of Christ there in that great city.
Now, let me just kind of ask a dumb question here. Are you carrying out that mission? I mean, do you kind of feel that the burden God's given you is to reach the Jews in New York, or are you trying to reach everybody in New York?
Well, when I first started visiting New York City, I really didn't have a burden for just Jewish people. I'd really never been exposed to Jewish mission. And yet after being in New York City for a number of years and realizing that one in every 12 people in New York City are Jewish, the Lord began to work in my heart to reach Jewish people. And it's only after that desire took place in my own heart that the Lord even opened up the door for us to assume the responsibility of the New York mission to the Jews. And so that work had to take place in my own heart.
Now, I know that our church has come down every summer to be with you, and that trip has pretty much revitalized a lot of our people. And many of them have gone on to be spurred forward in their own work for Christ in our church and have come back and had really tremendously transformed lives. Do you have other churches that come down, or is this just kind of a thing that you just do with Brookside?
Well, no. We've been working with a number of churches for about 6 years in the city. We'll have anywhere from 8 to 12 churches that will come and spend a week of their summer laboring with us there in the city. I'm thankful that Brookside's been really going to from Milwaukee to New York City with me since I've been going to New York City. So Brookside was one of the first churches that.
And now you have, you said, about 8 to 10 churches that come each summer?
Every summer, yes. And some churches have been with us every summer, just like yours. And some churches might come for a couple of years and then take a mission trip to somewhere else in the world, and then they'll come back to New York City.
Now, I had the privilege of being with you earlier this fall, and just I wanted to see for myself what was going on there. And it was very interesting to me that in the middle of all of this that you're doing, you also have a church.
Yes.
That you pastor.
One of the burdens of the New York Gospel Ministries, which is another corporation that we're involved with there, an outreach corporation that the Lord brought in to reopen this Jewish mission, one of their burdens was to plant churches in New York City. And a number of the men on our board are pastors who have been involved in church planting and other board members that have a heart for church planting. And so when the Lord opened up this opportunity to be involved with the Jewish mission, we wanted to open up a church right there in the mission. And so the Tompkins Square Gospel Fellowship is the mission church. And we opened that 2.5 years ago. Mm. So we have the responsibilities of pastoring,
yeah,
too,
and
the joys of a new church plant.
I saw
too.
That. Yeah. That was an outstanding time that we enjoyed together. You know, one of the things that impressed me as I was walking around, even in the neighborhood there, was the amount of young people that are just really on your doorstep. And that's kind of one of the reasons I wanted Bob to sit in, because, Bob, I know you're burdened to reach young people and children. And what have you seen God do with Kids for Truth in inner-city ministries? I mean, have you had churches in inner-city ministries like this take advantage of Kids for Truth?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things we've seen is that the folks that are utilizing the curriculum, they're using it for into junior high and high school and even young adults. And we didn't put grade levels or ages into the curriculum. So, you know, if a sixth grader is using a second grade level material, they're not going to know it. So a lot of these kids that just come from an unchurched background, that sort of thing, they've taken advantage. The church is working with these kind of folks, taking advantage of it. You know, truth is wonderful. Just the foundational doctrinal truth about God is just beautiful and wonderful and marvelous. And what better time to reach them when they're young? And we, I think, many times have gone the way of the public school, in that we have lowered the expectations of the youth. We've lowered our standards. But I have seen kids come back fired up about learning doctrinal truth, like the doctrine of the Trinity. Why is that so important? Because that's how God has revealed himself. Mm-hmm. And what's more fascinating than the subject of God himself? So I would like to know, when you have these churches come in, Bill, do they bring teenagers and children along to help with the evangelism?
Yes, there's kind of a range of folks that come, adults, college, senior high. I prefer to have high schoolers and up to come labor there in the city. I think we did have some younger kids, junior high, come, and Ashley had come from a more rural area, and the city just overwhelmed them. But, yes, we do have quite a variety of ages that come and labor with us there. It's a delight.
Speaking of the city, Bill, kind of just give us your burden for the city. I mean, churches like ours, I mean, Brookside is in a suburb of Milwaukee, and our city and all of its suburbs, probably maybe a million point one people in the whole. I mean, if you put everybody together and count everybody twice, maybe you might have 1.5 million people, but you know, for us, it's a huge amount of people to reach. And what are we talking about in New York?
You know, you look at New York City. New York is the largest city in America. It's the fourth largest city in the world. And yet it's probably one of the most ethnically diverse of all the major cities. The whole world lives in New York. The whole world visits New York. New York has, on the average, 100,000 visitors a day, 80,000 of those from the continental United States, 20-plus thousand from all over the world. So I look at New York City as an international mission field. And, you know, the Lord told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And yet
you
can
literally do that in New York.
Yes, right there in New York, sir. They live there. But then there are locations that you can go minister in with the gospel. You can go to a place like Battery Park. You can get a permit from the Parks Department to be in Battery Park with a PA system right where the boats are. that go in and out to the Statue of Liberty. 300-400 people on those boats every 30 minutes. They're from all over the world. And so you can minister in Battery Park and you're touching people from around the globe. You can go to a place like Times Square right there in the heart of Manhattan, between 42nd Street and 49th Street. And on a warm evening, there are probably 40, 50,000 people from all over the United States, from all over the world. And you can get a permit from the police department to sit right there in the middle of Times Square. Brookside's been there many times. Got pictures of a group from your church there with the musical instruments and the choirs singing and preaching in the center of Times Square, which the New Yorker says is the center of New York City, which New Yorkers say New York City is the center of the world.
You know, Bill, there's a reputation known far and wide that New Yorkers are sometimes rude and quick to judge, and they won't give you the time of day. But, you know, I got the chance to visit shortly after 9/11, and I found just the opposite to be true. Yes. What is your experience?
That's my experience, too.
They say New York, it's a stereotype, in other words?
I think it's a stereotype. The reason that New Yorkers appear to be unfriendly is because, you know, you climb on a subway with somebody. You're only going to be on the subway with them for 60 seconds, 2 minutes. You'll never see them again. So they're not really talking one with another during the busy part of the day. But if you stop and you ask a New Yorker for help or directions, begin a conversation, immediately it opens up a conversation. And you discover that they're really quite friendly people. Mm-hmm. And very open to the gospel of Christ.
Well, I was going to ask you, what is it that you see on a human level? What is it that you seem to see being effective in reaching New Yorkers? I mean, what have you seen that's effective in that?
Well, I think you have to get in people's lives. You have to identify with individuals' lives. And our little local church there, it's probably the most local church I've ever pastored. And people are walking from around the corner. And you're, as a pastor, counseling with them, listening to their life story, getting to know them as an individual so you can share the gospel. And that's true out on the street. To stuff a gospel tract in someone's face is not as effective as sitting down next to them on a park bench, hearing their story, finding out a little bit about them, and then having an opportunity to share Christ.
So the relational side of it's important.
Yes, very much so.
Again, we go, and I know other groups go, and we hand out a lot of tracts, and we ride the subway, and we do the Battery Park thing that you mentioned, and we've even done the Times Square thing. How effective is that in terms of long-term reaching people?
Well, I look at it this way. The Lord wants us in the highways and the byways, compelling people to come in. To go out on the street is certainly a precedent the Lord has given us.
Well, the gospel works, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And it works in New York.
Yes, it does.
We're excited for that. Bill, thank you for sharing your burden for New York. And until then, we hope that the Lord will bless you, and we'll look forward to being with you on the next broadcast of The Word for Life. May the Lord bless.